If you'd like a title for my message, the title for my message is Ugly in the Middle. Some of you are going to get that just now, but I'm not telling you that you're ugly. You are good looking too. I promise you, it was just a little joke for you guys. Now, I hope that you're ready to take notes. And if you'd like to take notes, they're available for you on our app as well as on our website. And here we go. Ugly in the middle. How many of you know somebody that needs to change? You can just raise your hand right where you're at. Yep, I know somebody that needs to change. How many of you like it when situations that need to change, change? How many of you guys like that? I like it because that means that our whole hotel ballroom situation is going to change in Jesus' name. How many of you like change in general? There's going to be like a few people that are like, yeah, I like change. I like things to constantly change. I'm just like a rabbit bouncing around all over the place. I never finish anything that I start, but I start a lot of things real good. And I like change to be constant change. Oh, yeah. And then there's other people like, oh, no, I don't like change at all. In fact, anyone that's changing, keep them away from me. I don't like anything to change. Let it just always be the same cardboard color for the rest of my life. And that's okay. But I'm going to minister to you today about some change. How many of you like to personally change? Probably very few hands. I'm gonna do the half hand because I like it, but I hate it. It's like a burpee. You love it, but you hate it. But you kind of love it, you know? I don't like change, but I love change. I need to change. You know what? I've got news for you, though. If you're going to stay around Jesus for any length of time, you are going to change. What's going to happen, and I will tell you this, this is the most practical thing that you can learn in Christianity, I think. If you're going to stay around Jesus, you're going to change to be like Jesus. If you're not willing to change, you won't stick around. You won't stick around Jesus. You won't stick around the sermons because what's going to happen is that you're going to be challenged every week to change, and pretty soon it'll get wearing on you. It's like, why am I always being told to change? Why am I being told I need to change? What's the matter with me? Am I not good enough? Look, none of us were good enough. That's why we needed Jesus. But if we are going to be around Jesus, we're going to change. And if you don't want change, it's going to be very difficult to stay around Jesus. He's going to constantly challenge us to be more like him. Can you say amen to that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, it says this, "Now the Lord is the Spirit." Or in another translation, the Bible says this, "Where the Spirit is Lord." Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, that means every one of us, we all with unveiled open face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, listen, are being transformed. Let me hear you make your best transformer sound. That was terrible. Anyway, you're being transformed into the same image, listen to this, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I like that. We're being changed from glory to glory. We're being transformed. Look, if we are truly submitted and submitted to and focused on Jesus, we are being changed and transformed. Here's the truth. Are you ready? The truth is this, that the Bible says we are being changed from glory to glory. In other words, the Bible in fact means from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. We are being changed from glory to glory, a better glory. But here's the thing, that's the truth, but it feels like we go from glory to gory to glory, doesn't it? I mean, I didn't come up with that. A friend of mine came up with that. It feels like we're going from glory to gory to glory. Why is it ugly in the middle? It's important that you understand that just like when hair is growing out, you know, after you've had a haircut or something like that, and when your hair is growing out, sometimes it feels, number one, like nothing is happening. Sometimes hair goes through a really ugly phase. And now I can't see you through the camera, but I can see that the way that you're looking at me, you're like, you know what that tells me? That tells me that you've had the same hairstyle for forever. Look here, Dora, it's time to change your hairstyle. It's time to cut your hair and give it a shot so you know what I'm talking about. You got to understand that change in sometimes is ugly in the middle. When you're growing your hair out, when you've buzzed your head, ladies, and then you're trying to grow it back out into your luscious locks, it goes through a phase that's ugly in the middle. Sometimes when you're going from one hairstyle to another, it gets a little bit ugly in the middle. And you got to do all kinds of things to just try to get it like serviceable. Maybe you got to wear a hat a lot. Maybe you got to use a lot more pomade and hairspray than you ever thought that you would. You got to product the snot out of that bad boy just to make it look presentable. You know what I'm talking about? Ever had a bad haircut? Yeah. Oh, I've had some bad haircuts. And so some of you are like, yeah, that's why I don't ever cut my hair. I go to the same stylist that's been doing the same hairstyle since 1962. That's why your hair always looks the same. Look, the Lord changes not. Your hair maybe ought to be due for a change. My friend, start there, because at least if you don't like it, you can always grow it back to where it was, unless you're bald, and then you don't have to worry about your hairstyle anymore. What I want to say to you about that today is this. Don't quit in the ugly transition of change. For those of you that are from my generation, you might recognize the photo that's in that slide. That is old school. That's right. How many of you guys know who that is? For those of you that are in the room with me, who is that? Oh my goodness. I hear Robotech. I hear Optimus Prime. My wife said Optimus Prime. That is Starscream. Starscream. Go get an education on Transformers, y'all. My goodness. But you notice that Starscream is supposed to be an airplane, but right now he's mid-transformation, and so his legs are all like whatever, and he's like, it's ugly in the middle when you're transforming. You gotta be changed. It looks good when you started. It looks good when you ended. But in the middle, don't stop in the ugly transition of change. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Here's the thing is that if we don't stop, we'll get to our destination. You just have to go, right? You know that old saying, a journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. But if you don't take another step after that and another step after that and another step after that, you might not be getting there all at once. But if you never take another step, you will never get to your destination. Do not quit in the ugly transition of change. You know, what's interesting is that when you read through your Bible, and I know that you read your Bible, what you'll find is that there is a river that flows from under the throne of God, and it flows out from that place. You know, in our lives can be like we have a current of our life where we're going. But what's interesting is that where two streams meet, it's something called a confluence, right? Where two flowing bodies of water meet, it's called a confluence. And often when the confluence comes together, there is a thing called rapids. And when rapids occur, there can be challenges. There can be new currents that start. There can be eddies that form. There can be all kinds of undertows that happen, and it can be a tricky place of transition. If you've ever been through a transition of leadership, it's that way. If you've ever been, we're going through that right now in our nation, aren't we? Whether or not there's going to be a change of power, whether there's going to be an exchange of presidencies, whether or not there's going to be a change of the current of our nation, and you can find rapids there. You can't be worried about the challenges that come along the way. If you expect to change, and if you're going to hang around Jesus, you better expect to change. But if you're going to change, it is right to expect challenges. Yeah. Today, I want to minister to you for a little bit about that ugly transition of change and some enemies of change in our life. Now, this is going to be a non-exhaustive list. It is just to give you some primers to think about. In fact, there are any number of different solutions or fruit or outcroppings or symptoms of various roots that come up in our life. If you know this, you know that in our bodies, we can have a particular root problem. But like, say, if somebody has kidney issues, many times what will happen is that you'll find out that they've maybe got a yellow color to their eyes. Maybe you'll find out that they start to have some itchy things in their skin. Maybe you'll find out that they've got different other issues, maybe some kidney stones, maybe their bladder function is not as good. And all of these things are symptoms of one root of kidney issues. Now, in our lives can have many different symptoms, but not very many roots. In other words, we have one root and many different types of fruit that can come of it. And so what I'm going to be talking to you about today for the next number of minutes are the enemies of change that are more like roots. In fact, most of these things can have one very core root, even as we distill it further. And you might pick it out as we go through these next few things that are enemies of change. You might recognize some of them in your own life. Now, the first one that I want to talk to you about is peer pressure. Peer pressure can be an absolute enemy of change. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, it says this. Bondservants, by the way, that's all of us. That means that we are enslaved in some way to Jesus Christ. We've been bought with a price. He owns us if we are a Christian because we've given our life to him and he paid a price for our lives. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Little pause break right there. If you are working for someone and they are your boss, serve them like you would serve Christ. Build them up like you would build up Christ. Do your best work like you would do for Christ. I hope that you're doing your best work for Jesus, and do it the same way for anyone that is an authority over you. Kids, do that for your parents. Do it as unto Jesus himself. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. I want you to highlight that. Doing it as unto the Lord and not unto men. Also, that phrase in there, men pleasers, you should go ahead and highlight that too. That's important. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. This is what I want to talk to you about today. We cannot live our life for other people. In fact, I just saw a post not too long ago on my social media feed, and it said this: if you want to please everyone, don't become a pastor. Sell ice cream. Hey, you know what? That's pretty much true, just like that. Pastors, people don't understand the target that we accept to be on our back and on our front and everywhere around us. The target that's painted on our family, the target that's painted on our home, the target that's painted on our social media, the target that's painted on our lives, even for the devil to attack us, because we are mouthpieces and we have influence. There is a target that's placed upon us. If you want to make people happy, don't be a pastor. Sell ice cream. I'm not here to make you happy, and I probably say things every week that just get under your skin. But my friend says this: if the cat doesn't like to be pet in that direction, let the cat turn around. I can say this with a smile on my face because I love you. And I think that Jesus has one way that he's going to flow. He's got one way. We are not going to change him. He's going to change us. And if we don't like it, let's turn around. Amen. Isn't that a perfect picture of repentance? And that, my friend, is why I don't own a cat. All right. If you want to be a man pleaser, this life in Jesus Christ is not for you. I want to say it to you this way. Not everyone is going to be happy about the changes in our life or the way that you're changing. You might be married to somebody, and maybe you met Jesus after you were married to them. They might not like the way that Jesus is changing you, because it changes your moral compass. It changes your ethical standard. It doesn't make you better than someone else. It just simply changes who you might have been. And they're like, well, I didn't marry you for who you were going to be. I married you for who you were. Well, baby, you better should have take a picture on the day that you got married, because even your face going to change. Right? If you don't want somebody to change, take a picture, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to remember them just as they were. But we're going to change through this life. But the good news is this, that when you get through the ugly of change, the destination is so much better. You're going to be a better spouse than you were at the beginning. You're going to be a nicer person than you were at the beginning. Not everyone is going to be happy about the changes in our life or the way in which you're changing. So I want to go ahead and show you this meme. Maybe you've seen this out there. It says, it's a caterpillar talking to a butterfly saying, you've changed. Can you imagine? Can you see that face right now? I mean, it's just like, you've changed. And the butterfly's like, we're supposed to, right? A caterpillar is not meant to stay a caterpillar for its whole life. It is designed and destined to change into a beautiful creature like a butterfly, right? Now, here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I was not always saved. You know what I mean? So there were some friends and some relationships and some activities and things that I was involved with that were not pleasing to the Lord. And when God began to change my heart, began to change my desires, I began to line my flow with the flow that comes from the throne of God. You know what I mean? When I started to change in that way, not everyone was happy for me. Not everyone was happy that I changed. And it was especially the people that I used to sin with and the people I used to sin for. You know, you might have some people that you sin with. It's like the only time that you get together is to sin. You know, you might go and do things and you might sin for people. I mean, I better not do it because it's not G-rated. Anyway, but you know, people that were maybe in a fornicating kind of a relationship, if you get morals in your life because Jesus says don't fornicate, and you do what Jesus says and you say, you know what, I'm done with that. Can I just tell you that the other person's probably not going to be that thrilled? I'm just being real. Christianity is about the reality of life. It is not some remote, crazy theory of how to live in heavenly places and be like a holy cloud floating around through this life like it doesn't really affect us. No, we change and the world around us stays the same. And so we encounter problems along the way, but we better be ready for it, because if you don't have your tarp zipped up on your canoe as you're going down the river, you're going to get swamped. You know, sometimes change can trigger people. I want to show you another thing that I found. See, change can trigger people. This transition, some people, it was like whether you go left to right or right to left, it might trigger you. Change might trigger some people, right? Like some people, Hillary triggers them. And some people, Trump triggers them. And as you transitioned maybe from one to another, it might trigger you. There are people that are unhappy all the way across the spectrum from left to right and everything in the middle. By the way, there are just some unhappy people in this world, and they will never be pleased with anything. But change can trigger the people around us. Go ahead and take that off the screen if it's not already off the screen. That's ugly. Anyway, the other thing that you've got to understand is that not everyone changes at the same rate or in the same area. So even within your household, whether you're married or not, or you've got parents and children, if Jesus is changing us, Jesus is not like, well, this week we're all going to work on thankfulness. No, that's not how Jesus works. I mean, this is a great week to work on thankfulness and thanksgiving. It's a good thing to be purposeful about what we work on. But personally, Jesus is working on us all differently in the area where we need to be changed. You've heard me say it before, and I'm not smart enough to have come up with it. Someone else said it, and it's so true. that the product determines the process. The product determines the process. What that simply means is that because you are a different product than anyone else in this world, your process is going to be different than anyone else in this world. Man, it's so nice when a husband and wife, God is working on the same thing in them at the same time. But you know how many times that's happened in the almost 20 years of marriage and ministry that my wife and I have had? I can show you exactly how many. That many. Zero. We have always been worked on at different times and at different rates. And you know, I always change for the better faster than she does. Yes, it is a competition. Everything is a competition in my world. The good news is that my competition is to get to be more like Jesus faster than she does. And I hope to God that she's challenging me the same way that she's trying to be more like Jesus faster than I can be. But we have to be tolerant of other people's rate and style and place of change. Because otherwise we're like, well, I just don't see why you're not changing the way that I'm changing. Well, that's because God's working on them differently than he's working on you. The main thing that we need to see is that Jesus is working on them. And Jesus is working on us. That's where you go back to that old scripture. Before you start to try to take a splinter out of somebody else's eye, take the log out your own eye. Jesus is working on bigger issues in me than he's working on the small issues in you. See, but we have it reversed, don't we? We think we've got a splinter and they've got a log. But Jesus is like, no, y'all got logs. I'm going to help y'all out. But we need to be able to allow other people to change where and how Jesus is changing them. My friend, you are not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. No, you're not even assistant Holy Spirit. You're not junior Holy Spirit. Spouse, stop trying to be the Holy Spirit in your spouse's life. Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. He's better at being the Holy Spirit than you are. Be you and let him have his way. Can you say amen? This stuff is not even in the notes. So I don't know who you are out there, but you're drawing it out of me. So maybe you need some help in that area. Let us know if you need marriage counseling. Anyway, I'm just kidding. The Holy Spirit is a great counselor. Let him have his way. So this is the thing, is that's why sometimes we have a hard time having compassion for one another's seasons of change. Even for other Christians and other family members, it's like, well, I already got that one beat. How come you're having such a hard time with it? Because they're not you. So we've got to have the ability to let Jesus take as much time as he needs to change it. You know, I've prayed that prayer so many times. Jesus, anything that's wrong with me, take it out. You know, if he did that, there would be nothing left. I'd just be like a boneless, skinless chicken, like nothing left, just a puddle of nothingness on the ground. So he can't take it all out, even though I want him to, because he needs to put some other things in first. Before he can take all the nastiness out, he's got to put some goodness in. I've got to stay open to him doing that in my life. Can you say amen? Let me tell you this right up front. Not everyone is going to rejoice in your success or your relationship with Jesus. When you start to prosper, not everyone's going to be thrilled over your prosperity. People are going to try to tear you down, pull you down, and say, oh, they, you know, you might even have done it the right way. And people are going to be like, they must have done something wrong in order to get that much blessing. Look, you don't do wrong stuff to get blessing. You do right stuff to get blessing. By the way, never, never drill down on somebody else's blessing. You don't know what they sacrificed. You don't know the offering they gave. You don't know what they gave up in order to sow that seed for that harvest. Don't curse someone else's harvest so they don't curse yours. Let them be blessed. Amen? God's got enough blessing for all of us. I believe that. 2 Timothy 3:12 says this. Yes! All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's the way it's going to be. If you want to live godly, you might suffer persecution. In fact, not you might, you will. The funny thing is you don't think that it's going to come from the places that it comes from. It comes from other people that you thought were your greatest supporters, but then when you change, it's like, oh, you've changed. Well, yes, I'm supposed to. See, but persecution comes from unexpected places, the closest ones to us, friends, family members, the people that you thought would never leave your side, and then you have to learn how to deal with this thing called betrayal. Oh my goodness, betrayal is real. When you thought that your friend was your friend through thick and thin, and they walk away from you because you begin to serve Jesus, that's probably not a friend that you needed. Here's what you should know about that. Put a healthy distance between yourself and the dream stealers and the change resistors in your life. A healthy distance. That doesn't mean cancel. Now listen, I'm not talking about cancel culture. It means putting a healthy distance between you so that they can't stab you. It just means that you back off long enough where you can still have the benefits and you can reach out to them when they need help. You're within arm's reach so that when they start to falter and when they start to fail, you're right there with the good news that things can change for them too. You've got to put a healthy distance. You cannot keep the same people close that have always been close if they're not going to change also. Put a healthy distance between yourself and the dream stealers and the change resistors in your life. Well, what if that person is my spouse? Look, you're bound by certain things of Scripture there. But you know what? Believe the Holy Spirit that they're not going to be a change resistor and that they're not going to be a dream stealer anymore, but that you're going to walk together because two are better than one. Because one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000s to flight by degrees of thousands. You got to walk together. And you can be that instrument and that catalyst of change. By the way, I'm not going to explain it, but you got to look up what a catalyst is, because a catalyst is something that helps a reaction to speed up. You can be a catalyst instead of a resistor in your relationships. Number two, here's the second enemy of change. Man, I'm going too slow. I got to speed up. Second enemy of change, the cost. The cost. Oh, even when we say that, we don't like that. The cost. Because I'd rather just loot a store and steal a TV because it's free. But when I have to pay a cost for the TV, maybe I don't need that TV so bad. You know what I'm talking about? Luke 14, 28 says this, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" See, God doesn't just want you to start great. He wants you to finish great. He doesn't want you to just start the journey. He wants you to finish the journey. He doesn't want you to just have a great idea. He wants you to have great follow through. He doesn't just want you to start on the house. See, the next part that comes after that scripture is this. Lest he begin to build the house and doesn't have enough to finish it and becomes the laughingstock of the city. And every time people look at that half-finished house, they're like, dude started that house and he couldn't even finish it. You don't want your relationship with Jesus to be like that. This guy started walking with Jesus. Look, he couldn't even do it for his whole life. No, I don't want my life to be that. See, people are looking for me to fail. People are waiting for me to fail so they can blast it out there to the world. See, look at him. He talked about Jesus. He talked Jesus up. He said how great and how awesome Jesus was, and he couldn't even follow Jesus for his whole life. No, that ain't gonna be me. You know why? I'm stubborn. I'm really stubborn. I'm so stubborn that I'm going to follow God even when everybody else abandons him. If no one else in the world is going to serve Jesus, I'm going to serve Jesus because I've resolved it in my heart. That's just the way it's going to be. And no one can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, because I sat down and I counted this cost and I knew it would cost me everything. And I'm all right with that. See, you've got to count the cost. Whether you have enough to finish it. Matthew 16, 24 and 25 says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, oh yes, that's me, Jesus. I desire to come after you. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know, people always talk about this, take up your cross and follow Jesus. Just remember this. Where was Jesus going when he took up his cross? He wasn't just like walking around the mall with his cross. He wasn't walking around to Macy's to buy some new kicks and carrying his cross. Jesus was going to the place of crucifixion and the end of his life when he was taking up his cross. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, where is Jesus going? He's going up that hill. If anyone wants to follow me, let him take up his own cross and follow me. You've got to understand that if you take up that cross, baby, you ain't going to make it. You, the old you, that former you, the you that you know, it ain't going to make it past the cross. See, the old Jesus didn't even make it past the cross. When he came down off that cross and raised up from the dead, he was in a glorified body. When you get to the other side of the cross, which means you got to get up that cross, which means you got to die on that cross, which means you need a supernatural act of God to bring your new life to being, amen. You're not going to be the same that you were before. Amen. It's going to require change. Oh my goodness, I'm preaching pretty good. Amen. You got to remember where Jesus was going when he took up that cross. If we do the same thing that Jesus did, why would we end up at a different destination if we're following him? Our outcome's not going to be different than his outcome. Our outcome's the same outcome. Same Jesus, same hill, same cross, same response, same outcome. I'm going to be changed. Amen? Look, that scripture says you must deny yourself, but here's the thing. We can all deny ourselves things. I don't know about you, but I fast every once in a while. And what that means is not eating. So I deny myself food even when I'm hungry. Why would you ever do that, Pastor Jake? Because I can. Some people cannot, but I can. I can deny myself. I can control myself. My stomach does not own me. My spirit owns me. You see, and I can deny myself that food. I can deny myself buying things. I can deny myself things. But here's the thing. Can you deny yourself? Who you are, what patently you think that you are on the inside, what you think that you're all about. Can you deny your dreams? Can you deny your future? Can you deny your success? Can you deny everything that you want? Can you deny yourself? Because the Bible says this, he must deny himself, not himself things. There's no extra word in there. We must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. See, change almost always involves death for the old. You can't take the old life with you to the other side of the cross. You can't take the old ways with you. Sometimes there's something that looks old, but God like puts his anointing on it and his spirit on it, breathes fresh life into it and raises it up again. But it had to go through that process of death. I don't have time to talk about it today. Go read your Bible. But here's the thing, right, with that butterfly, when it goes through that process, that metamorphosis, right, that transformation of a caterpillar through the chrysalis and through all those things, that caterpillar has to die. It doesn't just get transformed. It can never, ever go back to being a caterpillar again. That old life of walking around eating everything that you want to and then turning out beautiful, that life is no more. Oh no, if you eat everything that you want to, you're going to end up in a different shape, right? If a butterfly ate like a caterpillar, it could never get up off the ground, you know? That old life is dead and gone. And when that new life emerged from that chrysalis, it was completely transformed. We have to understand you cannot take the old life with you. My friend, whoever you are out there, you cannot take the baggage of the old life with you. You cannot take the hurts of your past with you. You cannot take the damage that was done with you. What happens is that you get healed at the cross. See, when Jesus raised from the dead, he had holes in his hands, but he wasn't bleeding. He had the crown of thorns and the hole in his side, but he wasn't dying. Yes. He was whole. Amen. Jesus wants you to be whole. Yeah. And the scars and the holes and everything is just simply a testimony of where you've come from, but that you're whole and healed and fixed, and you can minister to people that don't believe. It's like, hey, look, put your hands in the holes. in my side and in my hands, and you'll know that it's me. Yeah, I'm different. I'm changed, but it's still me. But I'm not bleeding and I'm not dying, right? I'm whole and I'm healed in Jesus' name. Whoever you are out there, you cannot take that baggage with you. Some of y'all been trying to climb up the cross with baggage in your hand. You cannot climb a tree with baggage in your hand. You can't do it. And when your baggage is heavy enough, you cannot climb even a ladder. It's not possible. You've got to let it go at the cross and come out the other side. Can you say amen? Man, I'm taking too long. Here's the third thing that is an enemy as we're trying to change. It's called current. Like I said, we've got a current of our life, but not only that, but there's a constant current of habit that tries to draw us back from change. You know what I'm talking about? When you try to make the change, but you've got this old habit, like in our home, we're changing the way that we're eating to a healthier way of eating, right? But the problem is that ginger beer is still in the refrigerator. By the way, that's not alcoholic. It's just fermented ginger that tastes, it's like soda, right? It's still in the refrigerator, and that was part of the old style of eating, but it's not supposed to be part of the new style of eating. But when you look at it, it's tempting for you still, so you want to sample it, you want to drink it, you want to consume it, and there's a current that tries to draw you back. Think about like salmon going up a river, right? They're trying to get up to their destination, to the place where they're going to be fertile, to the place where they're going to have their lives perpetuated through their offspring, and yet they've got to fight that current. They've got to fight so hard against that current. There is a current. If you've ever tried to break an old habit, anybody in here try to break an old habit? It ain't that easy, is it? There's a current that draws you back. In fact, if you're not mindful of it, you're going to consistently go back to that even without even thinking. Proverbs 26:11 talks to us about it. It says this, as a dog returns to its own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. I kid you not, my dog threw up this week. And you know what she tried to do? She tried to do the Bible. She tried to go back and eat it. That's disgusting. Because you know what's going to happen is when she eats it, it's going to make her sick again and she's going to throw up again. And the fool will return to their folly. Man, it is so important to understand that we don't want to return to our folly. We want to change our ways. Can you say amen? Don't return to your vomit. That's the thing that made you sick in the first place. Be changed. Amen? Here's the thing. Is that we've got some lifeguards in this church and some people that are connected to us that are lifeguards, and they'll tell you there's a couple of types of surface currents out there. There's one that's called a rip current. It goes straight out to sea. There's another one that's called a longshore current, and it goes along the current. Sometimes it can be incredibly long, like the Humboldt Current that goes up the west coast of South America all the way up to North America, right? So there are these currents, but the thing is that you cannot fight the current. Current does not have muscles. It doesn't have a cardiovascular system. It doesn't get tired at all. It is unyielding. It just keeps on going. You cannot fight the current. What you've got to do is you got to get out of the current. Don't stay in the current and fight. Oh, I'm just going to put my head down and I'm going to fight this current. No, you got to get out of the current. And get out of it quickly. Move laterally. Move off your spot. If you're into firearms and stuff, you know that if you're returning fire, first thing that you got to do is get off your ex. Move on the side. Don't allow that. Don't stay in the same place because somebody going to return fire where they remember you being. Yeah. I'm going to be out of the way. Yeah. You've got to get out of the way of your own current. Here's the second thing. If you stay in that current, you're going to get exhausted. You'll succumb to it and it will kill you. We've got to get out of that current. In fact, even with salmon, they fight the current, and once they get up to the top and everything like that, they die. Like, don't get to the end of the thing and then die, right? Like, get there and enjoy the destination. Can you say amen? Some currents, like longshore currents that are going along the shoreline there, sometimes you don't even have to get out of the current. All you have to do is you got to stand up. Then the current doesn't affect you. In other words, that's a biblical thing that tells us that we've got to stand up on firm and solid ground. How do we do that? We submit to the word of God completely by doing it. Luke 6:47-49 says this, "Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." See, the current's not going to affect you when you're on solid ground. That is doing the word. "But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." My friend, I want to tell you this. I'm so glad that you join us on Sunday mornings. I'm so glad that you join us on Wednesday night. I'm so glad for some of you that have been here since the outset of this church 21 years ago. But let me tell you this. If you're going to come in week after week after week, hear a phenomenal message, and you're like, "Wow, Pastor Jake, that was a great message," and then you do nothing with it, please stop. I don't need to preach one more message until you do the last one. I don't need to preach one more thing until we become it. I don't need to give you one more verse until we become the last. You know what I'm saying? We've got to be doers of the word. And when we do, then the current's not going to affect us because our feet are on solid ground. Your life is wishy-washy all over the place. People don't know whether you're coming or going. They don't know whether God said this or God said that one moment or the next. That's because you're not a doer of the word. Become a doer and you will become consistent. You will become faithful. People will always know where you stand. Amen? Here's the last one I want to give you. Yep, this is the last one. I think I might be able to do it. Here's the last enemy that I want to talk to you about today, and this is one of those major roots. See, this root affects all the other ones, really, and this is fear. Fear is an enemy of change. Well, what if I cut my hair and I don't like what it looks like? Well, it'll grow back. What if I lay hands on the sick and they don't recover? What if they do? What if I serve God and he lets me down? He will never let you down. I'm telling you today that fear is an illusion. Fear is scarier than the truth, because the truth is God is on your side. Amen. But it is one of the ultimate weapons of the enemy. Yeah. Fear causes you to fear change. It causes you to fear the cost. It causes you to fear your peers. It causes you to fear the current. Yeah. So you never get out into the ocean. So you never decide that you're going to swim and go to someplace that's wonderful. I think it is so important that we do not fear. Man, we need Jesus to help us to not fear. John 10:10 says this, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly." You notice what the devil does. He steals, he kills, and he destroys, right? Every single one of those things, alone or together in conjunction with one another, is scary and possibly even traumatic. I mean, if someone breaks into your house and steals stuff, there's a little bit of a trauma that goes on. Somebody was in my house. Look, when the devil breaks into your life, you ought to be offended about that. You ought to be a little bit upset about that. You ought to get a spiritual gun and defend your property. You know what I'm talking about? Don't let him run willy-nilly all over your house. Stop him, right? When someone comes and kills, I mean, if death happens around us, we had like 5 stabbings yesterday or something like that. My goodness, let's not be afraid of the one that comes to kill. How about we not be afraid of that one that comes to destroy? But see, the devil wants to use those tools and say, "Look at how much I can wreak havoc in your life." I know some people that refuse to serve God because they're afraid of the devil. Look, God's bigger than the devil. My dad is bigger than your dad. You know what I mean? My God is bigger than the devil. If God can't stop the devil, why would you serve God anyway? He's a puny God. We need to have a big God and a small devil. By the way, the devil has no power. The Bible says that God has given us power over all the power of the enemy. We don't even have to wait for God to have authority over the enemy. He gave it to you. The devil can't do nothing to you. I know some people that they're like, oh, Pastor Jake, you say stuff like stupid devil. Aren't you afraid the devil's going to come and get you? No, I'm not afraid that the devil's going to come and get me because he's stupid. And he's brain damaged. Jesus stepped on his head, the Bible says, right? He has no power. So he's just a talking head in the corner, as one of my friends says. And then people want to have a fight with the devil. So they go over to the corner and have a headbutting contest with him. Stop listening to the devil. He is robbed of every ounce of power. And Jesus has it all. And then he gave it to you. Do not be afraid. See, the devil wants us to be afraid. He wants us to be traumatized so that we don't move. When people get shell-shocked, they can't move. They're in shock. But you've got to move in your life. You've got to move. You've got to get off the X. You've got to get out of the fatal funnel. You've got to get out of that place where you can be attacked and assaulted and get into the presence of God. See, the devil wants us to convince us that God is the thief. I don't know what doctrine there might have more attack against than the tithe. Why do you think that people want to attack the tithe? It's God's vehicle of protection over their life. The Bible says if we will covenant with God in the tithe, that he would rebuke the devourer on our behalf. And the devil goes about trying to talk to people and tell them, God just wants to steal your money. God wants to steal your money. How do you think you got that money in the first place? God gave it to you. So just return it to him. It ain't that big of a deal. But the tithe is constantly under assault. You know why? Because the devil wants to convince us that God is the thief, not the devil. And so many Christians believe him. You know, if I wanted to be a professional thief, one of the things that I might decide that I would do is that I would put it on an officer's uniform or something like that, like a safety officer's uniform. And I would go around to people's house telling them, I just want to protect your house, you know? So if you ever get locked out of your house, just go ahead and give me the keys to your house. And if you ever get locked out, here's my number. You can call me and I'll just let you into the house, right? But I'm faking it so that when they're gone, I have the keys to their house and I just go on in there. The devil is a faker. He is a liar. The Bible says the truth is not in him. And when we believe him that God is a thief, but when you look through scripture, God has never been a taker. He has always been a giver. From John 3:16, from the beginning of time when God gave all of creation to man, God has been a giver, a giver, a giver, and a giver. Never been a thief. And the devil wants us to believe that God is. But you know what God is? God is the great exchanger. He's not a thief, but he's an exchanger. Matthew 11:28, and I'm almost done. It says this, Jesus said, come to me, all you are who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here's the thing. We have to give him our weariness. We have to give him our heavy burdens. We got to give it to him. And people are like, oh, you want to take those things from me? Well, yeah, but I also want to give you rest. I want to take your old and give you a brand new. I want to give you your yuck and give you awesome. I want to take from you your past and your hurts and your failures so I can give you a hope and an expected end. We cannot take the old with us into the new. Giving up to and giving to God will never make you less. The devil wants you to believe that, but it's a lie. If he's talking, he's lying. He'll never make you less. Proverbs 3:5-6. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. But that's so hard, Pastor Jake. I don't know if I can trust God. Yeah, you can. Don't trust the devil. Trust God. Luke 12:32 says this, do not fear, little flock. Man, this is a crazy verse. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What? Not give you a trinket, not give you a little bit in return, to give you the kingdom. Wow. Do not fear. God wants to give you the kingdom. You know, all of these things are difficult to do, to not fear, to trust. That's difficult to do if we're afraid of God and what he'll take from us. And it's no wonder that, listen to this, there are 1,086 verses in the Bible that say this phrase, do not fear. 1,086 times says, do not fear. My goodness, that's almost a verse for every single, or three verses for every single day of the year. It's almost that much. Why? Maybe you need to hear do not fear at breakfast, and you need to hear do not fear at lunch, and you need to hear do not fear at dinner. And maybe that needs to be your new diet, the do not fear diet. I will not fear. I feel fear, but I'm not going to fear. I'm going to choose to fast from fear in Jesus' name. You see, we cannot fear. 1,086 times God says, do not fear. I don't know of a single verse where the Bible says to fear. You know, God's not like, you should be afraid. Be very afraid. Come on. God is on our side. Look, as we go through seasons of constant change, remember this verse, and I'm going to end with this and just one thing. Psalm 23, verse 4 says this, yea, though I walk through. Say, I walk through.
I walk through.
Right? You're not pitching a tent there. You're not building a city there. You're not raising a family there. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I want you to just say that right now out of your mouth. I will fear no evil. Say it again like you mean it. I will fear no evil. I'm not going to fear. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. My goodness, my friend, today, you do not need to fear. Not only do you not need to fear, but you must make the choice to not fear. I will not fear. I will have faith. I will not fear. I will trust. I will not fear. The Bible says a day in his courts is better than 1,000 days anywhere else. I just think that number 1,086 is so awesome that I got one for every day. I got 1,000 verses for every day that it seems like anywhere else, it's just one day in his courts, 1,000. I just need 1,000 verses of do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. I'm telling you today, whoever you are, do not fear. He's with you. Just one thing. Here's just one thing that you should remember. We cannot afford to stop just because it gets ugly in the middle. Our destiny and those around us depend on it and need us to continue to change. In other words, the world needs me to be more like Jesus. That's going to require great change at whatever pace God wants me to change. I'm down for that change. Will you just say this today? If you're willing to change, would you just declare that to God? Just say, I'm willing to change.
I'm willing to change.
Say this one, help me to change.
Help me to change.
Say this one, I will not fear change,
not fear change.
Because you're with me.
You're with me.
My friend, if you need Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I offered salvation during worship. And so you can just go right back there again today. But I'm not going to take a real long time to do this. If you don't know Jesus, you are your self-help program. And you self-helped yourself to right where you're at. If you need Jesus today to come into your life, I want to pray with you right now. You need to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you need to declare that Jesus is the Lord of your life. And you do that, and Jesus will come in like a flood and begin to help you in your life and in your world. And you will not have to fear the change that Jesus is bringing, because he's changing you to be just like him. I want to ask you if you would pray with me today. If you need to receive Jesus Christ or you need to put him back on the throne of your life, let's pray right now. Just believe it in your heart and mean it as you pray it. Let's pray. Just say this. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead and that he paid the price for my sins. So I have no need to fear. I'm leaving the past behind, and I'm going through the cross with Jesus. I make Jesus the Lord of my life now. He is my boss. He is in control. He leads, and I follow. Because of these things, I am now saved. I am a child of God. And I'm being changed to be like Jesus. I will not fear because you're with me. I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or you came back home to give your life back to Jesus after being away from him, we want to encourage you and ask you to please comment and let us know that you did that today with us. And we want to send you a wonderful gift that you're absolutely going to love. We want to send you a brand new Bible, and we want to tell you how to take your next step in Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for joining us today. Don't forget to join your Connect group throughout the week. You can find them on our website and on our app. Make sure that you register for our in-person event next week, Sunday, at the Alohilani Resort in Waikiki at 10 a.m. sharp. Don't miss it. Pray with us for breakthrough on that note. And finally, join us on Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time for prayer and a time of communion. We would love to see you there with us. Invite other people and be the light to the world around you. We love you. We bless you in Jesus' name.